Live from a fan boat in the Everglades, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred, hard-hitting discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned referee, honored herpetologist, retired reptile rodeo clown, and a man who once saved Hugh Hefner from an embarrassing situation, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and inventor of the double stuffed Oreo, also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest, and leastest, sculptor, water skier, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who could crack walnuts in his cubital falsa, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
I like that intro with that's the rolling great. R on that. That was pretty cool.
You know,
the whole show just sounds more exciting every time that intro comes out.
There's a couple of things in that intro that I've got to ask about. Yeah. You are the legal representative for the
International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator
Okay, Wrestlers. That's what I thought. I am the illegal representative of the... The other thing is when you talked about broadcasting from a fan boat in the Everglades, was that Dennis Weaver in General Ben used to ride around?
Yeah, he didn't have a blood-pumping opening like that.
He didn't, but where else do you see a fan boat in use?
With a bear on it.
Everglades. Well, they use it a little bit now in the bayous.
What show regularly?
Well, no.
I think the Calhoun Sheriff's Office has one.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, there's a kid that it went in Calhoun County that built his own fan boat. It had an 8-cylinder engine on. It was never seen that before.
A fan boat would be a fantastic thing to jig around on. Put one down on the pond and just zip around.
Pond's kind of limited.
That's why I'd say you'd have to keep it on a pretty tight circle.
You might train there. You don't want to train anywhere with waves, not with a fan boat.
No, but you want to get out there where it's swampy and you're running over weeds and
turn to an angle and everything.
Yep. Gators.
Don't hit that log in the water.
That's no log, Rick.
That's a gator.
Wow.
That's what you want to talk about. When was the last time you saw the episode of General Ben?
I don't think anyone saw him when they were on.
I didn't watch too much of General Ben.
Yeah, I kind of watched it.
There was another bear story.
General Ben or Flipper?
Yeah, they were the same show.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of Flipper more than General Ben.
I went with Flipper over.
Yeah.
The thing about both those shows is they had to contrive their...
Wait, Sandy. That fish is trying to tell us something.
I'd say they had to contrive both those shows to have every storyline somehow be connected with either the bayou or the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Flipper had to come save the day in some manner. All taking place down at the Walmart, you know, what's he going to do? Flop around on the ground to come tell you that Timmy's stuck in the well?
I don't know, but
that's Lassie.
You know, when you put it that way, though, there's potential to have a TV show at Walmart.
Oh, gosh. Just have a camera when
they
walk in.
I thought you were going to say potential to have Flipper grounded there, dry Flipper. He just kind of flops.
In August on the hot asphalt.
Oh, yeah. Walmart, live Walmart show. Just a hidden camera version of it.
Oh, yeah.
And someone that knew how to narrate it properly.
That'd be great. That'd be a job for us.
Oh, job for you.
We could just have a part of our podcast. We'll go with a video segment. And it's the three of us sitting there analyzing everybody that walks in and out of Walmart. Yeah. Look at this guy.
Yeah, I followed. You see, you kind of get jaded.
That guy looks like an alligator wrestler.
You get jaded to seeing people in their pajamas and slippers in Walmart.
Yep.
What is that about?
I mean, I don't get it. Yeah, I mean, you know you're going out in public.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it. Just it. 90% of them are too ugly to even wear in your house, much less go out in public.
Yeah, I thought you meant the people. You're talking
about
their clothes.
The pajamas.
Well, it's not
They're
only that.
They're wearing pajamas.
That's not only that. It was on airlines. I mean, Lisa would see people coming on the planes with just, you know, Crocs and pajama pants.
Pajamas.
Pajamas.
Pajamas!
PJs.
It's pajamas. Pajamas.
Jammies.
Tomato, tomato.
Mm. Do you know how to...
I'm not even going to do my pronunciation guide. No.
What?
My guide to how to pronounce words.
Chris. Oh, are we doing that tonight?
I don't know.
Okay, we got an episode number 25, which is...
The side chancery. What the heck is that? Looks just like a headlock, don't it?
It does look very much like that.
Oh, it's down there.
Looks like he's going to take off his ear.
Well, that's illegal unless you're Mike Tyson.
Or an alligator.
I guess. You know, sometimes those alligators don't fight according to the rules.
You think? That episode. Look, people look back at episode 13. The diagram on that
Is
one.
That the guy with his head
illegal,
off?
That's illegal hold, move.
Holding up the arm.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good move.
Illegal move.
What'd you drop? Oh, your words. I'm still working on Reaper Hampshire Bell. Epitome.
The epitome of stupidity. What's it? Doesn't who pronounces epitome wrong?
It's epitome.
Really?
Well, you go to college, get some kid for the first time that's going to show off in his class. They'll call it epitome. You're just the epitome of stupidity.
I've never heard anybody say epitome.
I have actually heard that said just like that in college class.
I have not.
Oh, but you were in law school. That makes it all.
But there are stupider people in law school than
yep. Undergrad.
No, I don't know about that.
Epitome. So it's epitome.
Huh?
Correctly pronounced?
Not epitome.
No.
Epitome.
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 Wow. So it's not epitome, it's epitome.
Jewelry? Do people say that word wrong?
A lot of them do.
What do they say? Jewelry? You're not supposed to say jewelry.
It's jewelry.
It's two syllables.
Right.
Like ringhausen. Oh, that's three.
Three.
Let's see, jewelry.
Jewelry.
Look at number 15.
But some people say jewelry.
Jewelry. Yeah.
Number
jewelry.
15, you're kind of an imp. You're causing trouble. What are you?
Mischievous.
Not mischievous.
Mischievous? I think I go...
It's mischievous.
I've pronounced it both ways. I really have.
Oh, yeah. Mischievous.
According to Webster's Dictionary, the mispronunciation mischievous dates back to the 16th century. People have pronounced that wrong since 16th century.
So it's supposed to be mischievous.
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 Nuclear.
Well, President Bush is just really good on that one.
Yeah, how did he pronounce that?
Nuclear.
Nuclear?
Yeah.
Nuclear?
Mm-hmm. Nuclear.
He's a nuclear. What's that last one, Greg? Say the last one. Number 24.
Wait, let's get back to nuclear. Some people say nuclear, and some people say...
Nuclear.
Nuclear or nuclear? Nuclear.
According to Webster, there's two ways to pronounce nuclear. Nuclear.
Nuclear.
Nuclear. But not nuclear.
Yeah.
All right. What's the last one, Greg? Say that one.
Triathlon. That's incorrect. Triathlon.
Make sure you're saying it with three syllables only.
Triathlon.
Like Greg just said it.
Triathlon.
Triathlon is three syllables, not triathlon.
Not adding that extra O. Triathlon?
Yeah, triathlon.
Exactly.
Triathlon. Oh, boy.
What's wrong with supposedly?
I don't know how people mispronounce
supposedly.
That.
Supposedly. That's what it says, supposedly.
A surprising number of people look at this word, supposedly, see how it's spelled, and still somehow think it's pronounced supposedly. So supposedly.
Oh, they put a B in there.
Oh. Oh, it's supposedly. Not supposedly.
Supposedly. Supposedly, not supposedly.
Did I say it wrong the first time? I
think yes, you did.
You did say it the dumb way.
Triathlon. I'm still working on that.
The dumb way.
You know, I wonder, like, you go to a college, right? And you go to, let's say you go to an an English lit class.
Uh-huh.
And the professor's in there, you know, and he knows how to speak correctly. And he's listening, to a classroom full of, like, idiots. How do you stand it? Listening to them all mispronounce words.
Alcohol. Pronounce that one right.
Okay, what's this first word on the shirt I'm wearing right now?
Can't see it.
Idiot.
No.
Piasol.
Piasol.
Do you ever hear commercials?
I had a professor in college, and he somehow starts talking about
Piazza
Creek. And I didn't know what he's talking about for one. Finally, are you saying Piasol? It's Piazza.
Oh, Lord. Really?
Not around here. It's not.
I said, have you ever been to the town of Piazza? Where if you knocked on every door there, they would say, I live in Piazza, not Piazza.
What did he say? Did he slap you?
He acted like I didn't say anything. He said, anyway, the Piazza Creek. Yeah, it just goes on.
So you didn't let it lay, though, right?
Oh, God, no. So I asked a question. Okay, what is the length of Piazza Creek?
He said, you failed this class.
He could have. He didn't, though.
Look at number 11. What type of coffee is that?
What type of coffee is espresso?
Espresso.
Not espresso.
No, it's espresso.
Do you usually put the X in it?
No.
Espresso.
Espresso.
Almost certainly say espresso.
I don't. Espresso. I think I say espresso.
I think I do.
Because I'm following Gene Hackman's lead from when he was offering the monster espresso in that movie.
I haven't seen it, so go ahead.
What was the movie I'm talking about? <there?
laughs> Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh, I saw that one.
You did see that one. Yeah, so we don't have to put that on your list.
No, huh? That's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
Yeah.
Even though I couldn't remember the name of it.
No, here, let's do our commercial.
Let's do a commercial.
All right, let me give you a commercial, see if you do any better with it.
Oh, he has to.
What's that supposed to mean? I thought Greg did a fine job.
Yeah, right. Thank you, though.
Today's episode is being brought to you by Cousin Bruce's Bail Bonds. Got caught poaching gators down in Bayou town of Theobald and no cash to get out? Stop singing the blues. Wipe the teardrops out of your eyes and give Cousin Brucey's Bail Bonds a call. Quicker than you can say, which way's the border? You'll be saying goodbye to that dank Louisiana jail cell and all the other Louisiana miscreants locked up with you. But don't think that just because you're out that you're scot-free. You still have to show up in court on time. And if you don't, Cousin Brucey has a team of old high school drinking buddies all rip-roaring ready to hunt you down and stuff you in the trunk of a 1974 Pontiac Ventura and haul you back to court and collect the bounty. But we're confident that it won't come to that. We know that you're trustworthy, or at least as trustworthy as a desperate con can be. Cousin Brucey is open 24 hours a day because, quite frankly, we just assume that when the sun goes down is when the trouble turns up. So don't spend another minute snuggling up with your new Bayou bunk buddy. Call Cousin Brucey's Bail Bonds now and sleep in your own bed tonight. Cousin Brucey accepts all major credit cards cash, if it's American, and will consider barter trades of alligator hides, weasel bells, or bonded liquor. No questions asked. Call Brucey's Bail Bonds. It's your life. Get out now.
Yeah.
He's got the old shed out back there where he works those guys over. Yeah.
Cousin Brucey.
Cousin Brucey.
Back when I was state's attorney of Jersey County.
Yeah.
One day I go over to sheriff's office.
Yeah.
The sheriff's office has picked up some guy who's been on the run from Texas.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, and they're holding him, and some bail bondsmen are coming to get him, like Dog the Bounty Hunter type guys.
Okay.
And we were not allowed to release him into their custody.
Really?
Right? No, because they're not really like cops or anything.
Right.
So they said, just recog him, which is what we did. And he walks out of the front door of the sheriff's office, free man. Those two guys are sitting, leaning against a car parked across the street.
Jump on him.
No. They said, they just kind of said, Willard, you know the rules. And he just kind of hangs his head. And you watch him walk across the street. They pop the trunk open. He crawls in it. They shut it. And off they go to Texas.
Get out.
Wow. That's 100% true.
Wow.
You're making that up.
That's a true story.
Wow.
He knew the drill. He's probably run before.
Can they do that? Can they haul a guy around in the trunk of a car?
I guess they can. Haven't you done that with your buddies at one point or another?
I've never, you know, of all the things I've done, I've never locked anybody in a trunk.
And I've never ridden in it.
No, I haven't either. Car. That would be my spot.
To trunk. Texas.
Yeah.
In the heat.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
He just got in just as...
And he just did it.
Just as calm as he could be. Well, I think
there
he...
was never an option of, can't I just sit in the back seat?
No, there was no discussion at all. Trunk open, he got in.
Big car.
And off they went to Texas. I never heard out, played out after that. But
big car, big trunk.
Hey, Rick, he was out of the county. Who cares?
It was a 78 Pontiac Ventura.
One less problem.
Oh, yeah. Nobody argued with it. I mean,
I didn't even know there's actually bondsmen around.
Yeah. It's the real deal, man.
Where's the money in that?
Well, let's say your bond's $1,000, right? You pay the bail bondsman $100 cash. He goes and posts $1,000 with the court. You show up on court on time. He gets his $1,000 back and keeps the $100 you gave him. So he makes $100 every transaction. Unless you skate, in which case he loses $1,000 until he puts you in the trunk of the car and brings you back. So running from the bounty hunters is against their financial interest, and you don't want to do that.
Hmm. Okay.
That's a pretty good risky business.
Huh?
That's a pretty risky business.
The only way that business works is if your clientele has an absolute confidence in your ability to pummel them if they don't show up.
Well, this is true.
And they all know.
Or our good guy, our guy that's got a bunch of guys that do that.
And there's no arguing with them. There's no possible argument you're going to give them as to why you didn't show up. That's going to satisfy him.
Oh, no.
Hey, Rocky. Joe Palooka didn't pay up. He didn't. He skipped out on his bond. Why don't you go over and
break his thumbs? Yeah.
So you get guys like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that after Willard got in the car and they left the site of the sheriff's office, I'm guessing that car pulled over and they gave Willard some encouragement as to why he shouldn't have run in the first place.
That could very well be.
Yeah, but they don't pull over. They just slam the brakes on a couple of times. And
run back and forth across the railroad tracks. Wow. You understand you ain't supposed to run?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
I'm still thinking about that, just getting in the trunk.
This is a test of the emergency banjo system. This is only a test.
An actual emergency, you'd be told where to tune in to get soothing banjo music.
This was a test of the emergency banjo system. This was only a test.
Broderie? Camaraderie. But it doesn't say what the wrong pronunciation.
Has a silent A that trips people up.
Camaraderie, I guess they say. I never heard anyone.
Camaraderie.
Cupboard. You say cupboard?
Nobody says cupboard.
Cupboard.
Cupboard. Cupboard. Silent P. Here's a question I've got for you. Why do you have silent letters at all in the...
Well, it doesn't make sense.
What's the point of having a silent letter? I mean, can you make a good argument for it?
It's a highbrow thing.
Like holding your pinky up when you're drinking your espresso. Sure. Yeah.
You can say either dachshund, hound, dachshund, or dachshund.
I think some of these people mispronounce these words when they're trying to be... trying to make people think that they're international and they're trying to use an international pronunciation. Cache.
Quinoa.
Okay. On that Europe trip, Alan, or Greg, I'll run this past you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Did you ever have a sense when you were walking around either Holland or France that you were passing for a local?
Did I ever have the sense that as I'm walking around any of these foreign cities that I could pass as a local?
Yeah.
Until I opened my mouth, couldn't speak the language.
Never crossed my mind that I would be included as a part of that mob.
Wow. Okay.
See, I just figured I blended.
Rick, I got news for you. You didn't.
No.
Oh, I didn't wear any of my Hawaiian flower shirts.
You're walking around, you're staring up at buildings with your mouth hanging open.
Oh, so I should have walked around with a big glob of snot hanging out of my nose.
Then you would have been a local.
Right. You've been all right.
Apparently that's accepted in that country.
But during the weeks and weeks of planning that went up to this trip, right, uh-huh. I was told... You know, how everyone in Europe dresses and acts, and that I was supposed to not look like a tourist so I didn't get robbed.
Uh-huh.
And not act like a tourist so that I was trained for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks on how to blend.
I just assumed with all the things that I heard prior to it that 90% of the people in Europe were pickpockets.
Well, yeah.
And there's no way I was going to get in or out without losing some of my possessions.
So you're going back to Oliver on that, huh?
Yeah.
And I can't believe you didn't get pickpocketed going down a blind out dark alley in England.
You should have gotten that, pickpocketed.
I couldn't.
I did not get pickpocketed.
You're lucky you didn't get raped.
That's true every day.
Whoa.
You didn't get pickpocketed, did you?
No, I never felt Greg? The threat of it.
No.
I've never been pickpocketed in my life, and it never happened in Europe, and... You know,
I assume that I exude an aura that people go, don't want to mess with that.
Anytime I was in a public crowd, I was just going to have hands all over me. Just, you know, like, oh. Just get the heebie-jeebies, man. They're getting my stuff.
Oh, yeah, we had, to train for the trip, we had money belts. I don't know if you had a money belt. Did you have a money belt?
Yeah,
I did. Did you use it at all? I put mine in the hotel room after the first day and never wore it again.
You couldn't stand it, could you?
No.
It's like wearing a girdle. Yeah,
so you had money belts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then anytime you went someplace, you had to like pull your shirt up and fish it out from underneath the...
Let me pay for dinner, but first I have to disrobe.
It's in here somewhere. Let me pull it out.
Don't think I'm a tourist. I'm a local.
Wow.
Excuse me while I pull my pants down.
Where do you think you are, man? France?
I'm blending in.
Lord.
Okay, here's something that was weird over there. You go to like these...
I think when we got there were several things that were weird over there.
Several things weird. But you go to like these tourist sites and there's this trend to take a padlock and
throw it in the...
and write the initials of you and your spouse or significant other and lock it on some fence or gate or...
Yeah, I heard about that.
And they're everywhere.
Yeah.
There was one bridge in Paris that was famous for that. I mean, that, you know, someone must have happened in some romantic movie or something, and everyone had to go do that. city of Paris, like an engineer, determined that there was so much weight of iron added to that bridge that it was going to collapse, that they came in and cut them all off and then put up some piece of glass that you can't do that
anymore. Right. So now they just put them everywhere.
Oh, everywhere you go, there's like
locks.
Locks showing your eternal love.
Hmm. And in these places where they have locks, there are guys walking around selling locks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So you can, you know, like, oh, this would be a special moment if we wrote our initials on this pen. Like,
it will always be here.
And do you want to quietly ink the ink pen with it?
The ink pen.
Oh, you do not love your woman enough to buy a lock.
Yeah, they work on you. They work on you.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
How'd your splat ball ever turn out?
Have you uncased it yet?
You're afraid to, aren't you?
No, I'm not afraid.
You're afraid you're going to get find out you
I'm
got...
I'm afraid of nothing.
You're afraid you're going to get snookered, too. Oh, let me tell you. I don't know if I told this one or not. Last day we were in London. Sue and I are going for a walk and...
Another walk?
St. James Park, during the daytime.
You like that place, don't you?
Yeah. Beautiful park.
Yes, it is.
So we're going through a walk, and here comes...
Are you wearing a long trench coat?
No.
And shoes.
No, Sue was. And like a Tibetan monk.
In a trench coat?
No. He's in flowing Tibetan monk robes.
Okay.
Okay.
You know. Comes down and he's
like a Hare Krishna.
Except he wasn't wearing Hare Krishna robes.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't wearing the orange robe.
Okay.
He looked like a Tibetan monk.
He looked like a Tibetan monk, okay.
And he's got these highly engraved little cards, you know, that like with embossed gold leaf around the edges of them.
Uh-huh.
And he's handing them out to people. He's going to hand them out for free. Free, yeah. Peace to you. And so he's like, don't take a card from this guy. Okay. Sue says no. Oh, free peace. No. We have, Sue gives me a kick so that I know there is no peace.
Yeah, we got that.
So
right.
We go on. And we meet another one. Mm. Flowing robes. He's got the fancy cards. And I'm like, they're free. By God, I'm taking one. Mm. Thank you. And he hands me the card. And I start to walk away. Donation, 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 donation. And I mean, he's standing like like Alan getting the touchy-feely in France. He's that close. Like, no. And of course, he's proving my wife right the whole time, which
there
is the
go.
Most disturbing part of the whole thing. Like, no. And we start walking. And he's like following us. I mean, and like right on top of you. And the whole time. Chanting, donation, 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 donation. Finally just turn around and give him a card back.
That's when you got to say to yourself, what would Brad do?
Oh, man. That's a 7923.
That's where you tear the card up and say, step off, Jack. But you got to say it with authority.
You got to back it up.
Yeah. I got to assume that like a whole bunch of Tibetan monks all show up with their canes, you know, ready to...
This is where you go all airplane on them.
Airplane.
Robert Stack's going through the airport, and he's got the Hare Krishna's coming up, giving him flowers, and they got another, and finally he's fighting him.
Yeah, just like punching him as he works his way through.
He just turns into like a Bruce Lee movie.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, you haven't seen that movie, I guess, Greg.
Which one, Airplane?
Airplane.
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay. Well,
it's one more off your list.
One more off the list.
So we were last day we were in Paris. Sue and I go for a walk at the park.
That wasn't the last day. We were in Rome on our last day.
The last day that we were in Paris.
Okay.
He's got that bee in his ear. Or spider in his ear.
Going for a walk in the park. And the guy's selling roses.
Oh boy.
Yeah, Lord, here we go.
And he comes up and he gives Sue a rose. Now, this is the woman who told me absolutely do not take the card from the Buddhist monk, which she accepts the rose from this guy, right? Free rose. And then
nothing's free in the park.
As soon as she has the rose in her hand, donation, 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 you know, and he's following us and she's like, take the rose back. No, 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 don't want it. Free. And then donation, donation, donation. I think finally she threw it on the ground or whatever.
Good for her.
When that guy handed her a rose, he tied like a string around her wrist.
Uh-oh.
And how he did that in the instant that it took him to hand her that rose is a mystery to me, because we had to get a knife to cut it off.
Wow. No
kidding. No. And it was, he was so dexterous that I was convinced that if he wanted to have been a pickpocket, that he could have done it.
Right. And now that piece of string that he tied to her wrist had been dipped in LSD, you know, and she absorbed that through her skin and probably went on a, you know, a psychotic trip.
Yeah, but she's used LSD enough. That wasn't going to phase her.
Okay, I got a rose story. We're running out of time here, but I got a rose story.
All right.
This is years ago. Our brother Brad and our cousin John Hillen are out, and they're on a double date.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it's like with a couple
those
of girls.
Those two girls.
Like,
oh,
with,
no.
With, you know, like first time out with these
not
girls.
Dating each other.
And they stop at a gas station and go in and get some, you know,
gas station
beverages.
Oh, I thought you were going to say gas station brothers. No, yeah.
They went in to get some beverages. And as they're getting ready to leave, they had roses for sale. And so they said, well, this will get us in good graces here. We'll
get us in.
Buy them each a rose, right? And they thought, you know, some kind of an artificial rose or whatever. But when they get to the vehicle, the roses were actually cleverly folded women's underwear.
I just picture Brad John.
Wow.
First off, I assume that both of them were socially inept as I was at that point. that was going to be a faux pas. Is that one of the words you mispronounce?
Yeah, but you know, they had their folded panties, but they also had, you know, like a 12-pack of beer.
So that was all right.
So to soften the blow.
So the end of the story, did they end up giving the panties to the girls or not?
I don't know what happened to the panties.
Yeah, so I was wondering.
Anybody's.
Good point. Brad says they're really comfortable. They feel so nice against your skin.
How are your panties, John?
In a bunch.
Same as yours, going out the window.
Yeah.
As we drive home alone.
I assume that was the end of every date they ever had, too.
Yeah, pretty much. We've exceeded our time limit here.
It's going to have to be edited a little bit.
I don't know how we're to even start with that.
Oh, I bet.
All of it.
Yes.
See you later from Alligator.
From Rick Gator.
From Greg Gator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.